Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Off the ball breakfast.
Abdul Fadawa for Leicester. Check it out. Beats two men. Scores from the halfway line.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Trevor gets over the line. Try from Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
All right, delighted to be joined on a special episode of the Red 78 by Munster boss, Clayton McMillan. Clayton, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, a little cold today, but in good spirits.
Yeah, thanks very much indeed for joining us. I suppose that's my first question, Clayton, is how have you been adapted to life in Ireland?
It's been great, actually. Yeah, obviously, the playing group, good bunch of men, great coaching staff and wider management group. Lots of people have been really accommodating, really, really welcoming, and it's been a fairly smooth transition into life in Limerick.
Clayton, when you came over here first, obviously coaching on the other side of the world, did you find any difference in how we trained over here compared to over, like how training sessions ran or what was going on in that background?
There's a lot of similarities. I think, you know, it feels like a big world, but the rugby community is actually pretty small. And so there were a lot of similarities around how I would have seen a training function in New Zealand and then what I encountered here in Ireland. And hugely impressed with, the willingness of the lads to muck in, roll up the sleeves and, you know, get to work. They turn up every day with the same attitude, and that's been impressive.
Clayton, you've had some really good moments. The start of the season was really good, and we do this podcast really for obviously to analyse what you do, but also to try and connect with the fans as well. And we have a brilliant fan base. I experienced that for 15 years myself as a player. How have you assessed the season so far? Because even when I talk and look back at before we came on here, there's some really good moments, there's some really frustrating moments, I'm sure, as well. I believe there's great potential in the group, and I think you've been really honest in your assessment without critiquing individuals or anything, like collective frustration. How have you assessed the first 7 or 8 games so far?
You probably articulated it pretty well, the Ellen. It's been a mixed bag. You know, we're obviously grateful that we've got a lot more W's in the bank than losses. But really realistic, I think, internally around where we're at on our journey. There's been some brilliant moments on both sides of the ball. Like, we have shown glimpses of what we can do on attack. Our set piece, I think, is improving, but has been under pressure at times. Defensively, I think we've been really sound for the most part. Like, you know, we've been able to defend for long periods, and be a tough team to score against. So those elements are really pleasing. And I mean, we start every week, and we want to see as coaches, you know, the complete performance on Saturdays, but that sort of, you know, they've been realistic around where we're at. We've got, without making excuses either, lost some experienced players last year. Trying to develop a new, younger leadership group. Myself coming into the building with a couple of other staff that have come up with some new ideas, and finding the balance between, you know, chipping away at the edges and bringing some new stuff in while respecting all of the good work that was done here. A high rotation of players week to week. All of that stuff has been done understanding the direction we want to go, and that's to be regularly winning games and regularly contesting finals across multiple competitions. And we know that we are some distance away from that at the moment, and but you've got to have a plan, and it has to start somewhere. And you know, using the player rotation as an example, we need to build depth, and we need to build competition within the squad so that, you know, running out in amongst the jersey is not something easily done. It should be cherished and respected. And so we're doing some things here that might not be to the liking of pundits or our supporters, but we feel like it's a journey that we need to go on, and you know, we're committed to the course.
I think people are pretty understanding of that. I think the game has moved on a lot now. Player welfare, rotation, you're trying to find out about the individuals as well. So absolutely, there's mitigation there. For sometimes we lose cohesion when you can't pick a team for four or five matches, but it's just not feasible, particularly this time of the year. I think when you get post-Christmas, this is a really difficult block. I think post-Christmas, you might be able to go, we can pick guys for three or four games in a row and get that cohesion. So I think the fans, and we certainly understand the mitigation around that. It doesn't kind of take away some of the frustrations, but I suppose that's work in progress, and that's something new.
Yeah, and we don't want it to. You know, people are frustrated because they care and they want to see the team do well, and we're equally frustrated at times, as are the players. But, you know, we're a work in progress, and everyone's working hard here to try to bring that consistency of performance. And now the pleasing things are the things that have hamstrung the team in the past, for example, would be a high attrition rate, the high injury rate, and the need to have to play some players week after week after week, that when you get to the back end of the season, they've got nothing left in the tank. And, you know, we're slowly getting to a point, touch wood, that, you know, we're starting to get lots of bodies available in this part of the season where you're going to play a big chunk of games. You're going to have to rely on more than your regular 23 to get you through, and then still have something at the back end. So that stuff's all pleasing, and I guess time will tell whether we find the gains and we get the growth and we get some wins and we can finish with a wet sail.
Before I let Fiona come in next, I just want to ask you one more question, if it's okay. Do you think you've learned a lot about the group in the last few weeks through a bit of adversity? Because I think you could look at some of the first games, the Cardiff game, the Edinburgh game, a lot of character shown, not perfect, but you got the wins. But in the last few weeks, tricky moments. Do you think the players have learned a little bit about just managing those moments, and you as coaches as well?
Yeah, look, I can speak for myself personally. Like, I'm learning all the time, and it's one of the big reasons I come here. Like, the game is played differently in this part of the world, and you know, some of the things that people would have a perception of Northern Hemisphere rugby down further down south are either misinformed or incorrect. And the same probably can be said in reverse. So for me, there's some really great learnings, even the learning more about our own players and the way that the team operates, the different challenges around European Cup rugby, URC rugby, playing even within one competition, the different, you know, the South Africans play a little different to the Scottish, to the Welsh, to the Italians, and you know, like, there's just differences, referees slightly different. So lots of learnings. For us, I think, you know, we need to put probably more emphasis on just getting our own backyard sorted and not worrying too much around what the opposition bring us, because it is a young group who are learning some tough lessons, finding a bit of a way. We just need to get better at our craft, and you know, even in the Bath game, which was, you know, a huge disappointment, certainly got highlighted again last week, we're creating plenty of opportunity, more than enough 22 meter entries to put most teams away, but no point creating all of those opportunities and not converting a decent percentage of them. If we do that, I think we can be a much more complete side than what we're showing at the moment.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Just on the back of Lastly Clayton, I just thought it was brilliant watching Connor coming on in the front row. And I suppose I'm coaching in the women's AIL, and I love it. Have you got a chance to go down and see any of the old local Limerick teams in the AIL playing, or because there's some vibe down there, and Quinny'll tell you about his Shannon days, it's brilliant down there. But do you see, I suppose, value, huge value? Because I've noticed, especially this year, the guys are going back playing a lot of AIL. So do you see huge value in sending them back to the clubs to obviously come back and then into the week, next week, the training week, with a view of kind of getting to another level?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's only one way you get better at playing rugby, and that's by playing rugby.
Definitely.
So I don't subscribe to wrapping players in cotton wool, you know, like I can understand how when you might do that sort of at the back end of the season, you get a little bit selfish as you get into sort of finals rugby and maybe not everyone would be available. But at this stage, you know, we need guys playing rugby and, you know, we want people that are not satisfied just turning up here and training and not getting the, you know, the benefit of going out and playing rugby on the weekend, no matter where that is. So they all come in with the ambition as for playing to play for Munster. Mm. And if they don't do that, then we highly encourage them to, not encourage them, we direct them to go and play for their AIL clubs. And to answer your question, yeah, I have been to a number of games to watch some of our players play and just to get a bit of a vibe, because I think, you know, no matter where you are in the world, that clubland is the heartbeat of rugby. Mm. And, you know, we need that level of rugby to be thriving in Ireland for teams like Munster to continue to get better. And Conor Bartley is a great example of somebody who has been doing exactly that, beavering away, wondering if he was ever going to get an opportunity to put on a Munster jersey, probably thought the opportunity had passed him, and now he's had a couple of games. And not just had a couple of games, but actually made a bit of an impact and probably starting to do enough to force a conversation around having them in the building on a much more permanent basis. And, you know, there's probably, to be perfectly honest, there's probably other Connor Bartleys out there running around in AIL wondering if the ship has passed them by, but only needs one person to go along and see something good, and, you know, their fortunes can change. And I've connected with a number of the coaches around in, you know, in Limerick, at least. Because I think it's important, it's part of my job to be visible. Went along to a great night last week for Young Munster, had a fundraiser. You know, that's not a hard thing to do for me to give up some time to go and give a little bit back to that part of the game, because it's important.
Brilliant.
Hey, what was the experience like in Páirc Uí Chaoimh at the weekend, and would you be in favour of more high-profile games being played there?
He's from Cork and all.
Yeah, Cork man.
The Cork man here is asking the Cork question.
Look, I certainly think it's important for Munster to be visible in all the counties of Munster, and we've had a deliberate we've deliberately tried through the pre-season to have that visibility around the place. Not sure that we have the capability of playing URC or championship matches and all of them, but it was really pleasing, I think, to go down and play in Cork, and to get such fantastic support. So those decisions get made well above my station, but I enjoy going around and giving back to those communities. And we've got players here who, you know, I think I said last week, they they're proud Munster men, but they're very proud Limerick or Cork men,
Cork, yeah.
And openly so. So, and you want that. You want people to be proud of where they come from.
Just looking ahead to the weekend, Clayton, I'm sure you've answered a bit about the Ospreys game. You've picked it looks like a very strong team on paper. Are you understanding of what you're going to expect over in the Ospreys? It's a difficult place to go, Bridgend, real club, narrow, small pitch, crowd right on the sidelines. And I'm sure you're well aware that they haven't had the best start to the season. The Ospreys, a couple of good wins in the last week, but they'll be gunning for Munster at the weekend, and you'll be a big scalp if they can put it up to you or get a result against you. Are you conscious of where the Ospreys are at and what kind of a threat they pose for the weekend?
Yeah, look, I would hope that we're not going to get surprised by what we encounter, because we've talked about it a lot. Mm-hmm. And we understand that probably we haven't been at our best the last couple of weeks, and that puts a real target on our back. They'll see an opportunity to for a little blood in the water and for them to attack. So we're under no illusions around what they'll bring. They've been improving. They haven't got the wins on. Yeah, they're almost the reverse of us, sort of been playing well, not necessarily getting the results, but there or thereabouts, and certainly in the last couple of weeks have shown what they're capable of. And, you know, I like to think that the side that we've selected shows that they have our full respect. So it's going to be tough. Go back to the beginning of the season, talking about raising the floor, not the bar. These are the sorts of games where, you know, that really comes to pass.
From your experience as well, and we're not going to keep you much longer. We appreciate your time, Clayton. The high point for me was that intensity against Leinster that I think this team is capable of. And I think if he can reach those high, it's very difficult to get that emotional high every match. And again, your appraisal afterwards, you didn't get too high about it. You were quite understanding of maybe catching Leinster on the day. But I just thought the intensity, the work rate, the backing each other up. I think if this team can get to that level, there's talent then to punish teams. You feel that you can get a higher level and a more consistent level of that kind of energy and intensity?
Yeah, look, that's part of the learning that you've talked about over the last couple of weeks, is that, and it's been really interesting. Part of the learning for me is understanding the emotional highs and lows. Of being amongst the rugby player, and there was no doubt that in the week against Leinster, there was lots of things that there were lots of differences, subtle but obvious to me.
Yeah, and it's a different week. I'm sure it's like derby matches back in New Zealand. They're different.
You know, so the intensity and the emotion that you saw on display, you know, that's the $64 million question. How do you generate that on a week to week basis? My own philosophy is that it's near on impossible to do it to is, reach those emotional levels, and actually, in actual fact, well, I just think it's hard to do. But if you can't reach that emotional level, then your physicality and your accuracy has to be there. So you can afford to be a little bit off emotionally or not quite at that same level.
Yeah.
But then your Absolutely. Accuracy and physicality can't be compromised. And I guess when you look at even last week, is that there's a good emotional spike, because we were playing at Pakeha and it was in front of, you know, 40,000 home fans. Still felt a little bit different, but our accuracy wasn't there, and at times our physicality wasn't quite there. So those are the games that we need to learn the most from and understand. That we aren't always going to have that emotional spike in, but we can't afford to be off in other areas when that happens.
Yeah, okay.
Excellent. Clayton, it's been a pleasure talking to you today, sir. Thanks very much for taking time out to talk to us on the Red 78. Best luck this weekend, and I suppose for the rest of the season. I've no doubt we'll catch up before the end of the season as well.
Cheers. Thanks, Clayton.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thank you
so much, Clayton, and good luck.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.